The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
Starting a new series, short series, that I've titled Spirit Walk. And before we get started this morning, I'd just like to pause. I don't always do this, but I just feel like we need to do that this morning. Pause and pray. All right? Heavenly Father, we just praise you. Thank you for your word, that we can study your word, we can learn from your word, that we can apply your word to our lives as ambassadors for Christ. We ask, Lord God, that you lead and direct us, that we would truly be all that you want us to be, that your spirit would move inside of us and lead us and allow us to have a spirit walk in Jesus' name. Amen. Galatians chapter 5, verse 25 says this: if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. This is the scripture that I'm using to begin this study of spirit walk. And basically what I'm talking about is learning to walk in the Spirit, to allow the Holy Spirit to lead and direct us. And we'll go in several different directions with this particular teaching. We will eventually talk about the supernatural gifts of the Spirit, because that's part of walking in the Spirit, or having a powerful spirit walk. We are spirit beings. Does everybody understand that we are supernatural spirit beings, right? God created us in his image. We have a body, or we have a soul that lives in a body, but we are a spirit in essence. God created mankind. He created man, his being, his body. He placed a soul in him, and he breathed life. He breathed the spirit into man. He brought man to life. Without the spirit, we would not live. And our spirit and soul are so interconnected now that for eternity, the spirit and soul is going to live. You cannot get away from life. You may die someday. We're all going to experience that. Do you realize that the death rate has remained the same from the beginning of time? 100%. We're all going to die. It's going to happen. Unless Jesus comes back and takes the church out before that actually happens, and in your life, in my life, and that very well could happen in our lifetime. Things are moving in a very rapid direction toward the end of time. So I believe we're living in those times when Jesus could return. But what I want to do is focus on life here and now. We have to live. We have a responsibility to have a spirit walk. We have been infused with the Holy Spirit in our life. He lives. God himself lives inside of us. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, he lives in you. If you've confessed Jesus, he lives in you. If you desire more of him, you can be baptized in the Holy Spirit and walk in supernatural power in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. God wants you to have a spirit walk. It's very important that we understand this. We need to recognize that we are ambassadors for Christ, so our spirit walk must be strong as we represent Jesus. We must not allow our emotions to control us. You see, this body that I have, this body that you have, it wants to control you. It wants to control your mind. It wants you to fulfill the appetites of your flesh. It desires for that to happen. But God, on the other hand, wants you to control through the spirit and your mind to control your flesh, your body, so that you can live in the fullness of Christ. A woman was in a grocery store, and she noticed a little man with a little baby, and the little baby was screaming and crying, and the baby was out of control. And every few minutes, the father, appeared to be the father of the baby, would say, "It's going to be all right, Albert. Just be calm." And the mother or the lady watched this for a long time, and she couldn't stand it any longer, and she went over and talked to the man. She said, "Sir, I've been watching you, and I have admired how you're handling little baby Albert and telling him just to be calm and to relax." And the man looked at the woman with disgust, and he said, "Lady, I'm Albert." Yeah. Well, be calm. And we try to do that sometimes. Don't we try to talk ourselves into being calm and relaxed? But it's not that easy. However, I believe we can have a spirit walk that helps us, because we have a helper, a comforter called the Holy Spirit that will lead, guide, and direct us and help us to overcome this flesh that we have. Let's read this morning as we move into this study. Let's read Galatians chapter 5, beginning with verse 16 through 25. Galatians 5, verse 16. "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Nor the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." All right, as we reread through this, we recognize that there is a contrast here. There's a contrast between the things of the flesh and our fleshly desires and the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is a manifestation of the Holy Spirit in our life. This is one fruit with many flavors. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, all these things. Those are manifestations that should come up in our life. However, we recognize that as believers in Jesus Christ, sometimes we have to allow the Holy Spirit to work on us and help us to move into this fruit that we have, all the fruit that it manifests in our life. You see, what the list here that he's talking about, it's not an exhaustive list. I mean, he didn't mean to say these are the only things that we have to be concerned about with our flesh. No, there are plenty other. There's Corinthians. So turn there with me, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We'll just look at this list. Verse 9. "Do you not know that unrighteousness will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, or adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God." Okay. Some of you, some of we, some of us were such things. But when you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, everything changes in your life. It's supposed to, anyhow. You're supposed to become a new creature in Christ. You're supposed to begin a walk, a spirit walk, that through time. Now, we call, when you receive Christ as your personal Savior, there's a manifestation that takes place in your life. It's called being born again. Remember, Jesus talked to Nicodemus, and he said, you must be born again. Being born again is a supernatural experience. And let me tell you something. It's not just an intellectual decision to receive Christ as your personal Savior. If all you have done is intellectually said, yeah, I believe Jesus is the Son of God, you're missing it. Because when we talk about being born again, we're talking about a supernatural experience that must occur in your heart, not just in your mind. It's an experience that must change you fundamentally. You were heading in this direction, and suddenly now you're going in the other direction. You begin to realize that your lifestyle is not the kind of lifestyle that pleases the living God. That you need to change your direction. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, you begin to do that. So that sanctification process begins immediately. You are sanctified by the blood of the Lord Jesus. But sanctification is also a process that takes place in our life. That over a period of time, you begin to become a new creature, a different person. Most of you who have been born again for many years, you can look back and realize that you are not the same person that you used to be. I look back on my life and I say, my, oh my, God, the work you have done. I know there's a lot that still needs to be done, but the work that has been done in my life, in your life, in our life, I don't care how long you've been born again, believer in Jesus Christ, your life from that moment begins to change. This, you're sanctified, and then a process of sanctification begins to happen in your life. If changes are not happening in your life, if God is not showing you things in your life that is keeping you from a passionate desire for Him, a closer walk with Him, I don't care how long it's been that you've been born again, there's something wrong. You need to go back and check it out. Because God is constantly working on His people. He wants us to become new creatures. He wants us to cleanse this mind and this body to walk closer to Him. I'm not talking about a list of religious formality that we have to follow. I'm talking about a relationship with a living God. A relationship that draws me, a relationship that causes me to walk in the love of God. God is love, the Bible says. But however, because He is love, many people have come to the conclusion that God is love so you can get away with anything. No, God is also justice. And because He is a just God, someday He must level judgment on those who reject Him. He has no choice. Otherwise, He's a liar. The enemy wants to prove that He's a liar. He can't. Our God is not a liar. He's not like a man that can lie. God cannot lie. Therefore, His word is true. He loves you so much that He does not want you to perish. God so loved the world that Jesus came for you, came for me, that Jesus died on the cross for all of us, that we would have everlasting life and not perish. But the perishing is a part of it if you reject that. The love of God is Jesus spreading His arms and hanging on the cross. His blood shed for the remission of your sins and my sins and the sins of the whole world. And it's not something that everybody receives unless they accept it. Something that will change your life completely. Let me tell you something. We're living in some very difficult times right now. I'm talking about a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me. Jesus did not. And I can show you different places where he said, I'm the door, I'm the gate. He said he was the only way. He did not leave room for any other way to God. It had to be through him. Now, we will either accept that or reject it. But now in our society, anyone who believes that they have their way is the only way are considered outcasts. There was a time in our society where true Christianity was looked at by our society as a virtue. It's not that way anymore. Do you realize that because of political correctness and being carried so far to the extreme, that tolerance and love have new definitions? At one point, tolerance was, it meant bearing or putting up with someone else's ideas or differences by not condemning them, but putting up with that even though you disagreed with it and you had the right to disagree with it. Well, anymore, tolerance is no longer defined that way. Tolerance is the belief that all lifestyles, truth, beliefs, and values are equal. That's the new tolerance. And if you disagree with that, you are worthy of contempt. And we're seeing this more and more in our society. A few years ago, two or three years ago, Governor Huckabee told a group of Christians, he said, they're coming after you. Now, he would know. Now, I'm not trying to scare anybody. I'm just trying to let you know the kind of world that we live in. We must be strong, we must be faithful, and we must take a stand. We cannot hide from the reality and the truth of our life and our world. Listen, same-sex marriage is a reality. You can't hide from it. Do I agree with it? No. I disagree with it. Homosexuality is a reality. I disagree with it. Lesbian, I disagree with it, but I still love those people. And I'm not going to abuse or mistreat anybody or speak nasty, evil things about them. God loved them so much that he sent Jesus, his Savior, as the Savior for all of mankind. That's God's love. That's his strength. However, I have the right and the freedom in this country to disagree, but there are those who say I do not any longer. In fact, I am held in contempt because of the words that I just spoke to you about those things. The reality is God loves everyone so much that he does not want them to perish, but you have a free will and you can choose whatever you want. I ran across this article I want to share with you. It was written by Jonathan Safate, who is part of Answers in Genesis. It says this: the hypocrisy of the new tolerance was shown recently at two universities. At Texas Tech University in Lubeck, Michael Denon, professor of biology, said he would not recommend any student for medical school if they did not believe in evolution. Denon's university rushed to defend him on the grounds of academic freedom. Now, contrast that with what went on in Australia. In Sydney University in Australia, a number of top academics signed the following statement in full pledge to students in a student newspaper advertising the following: on any criteria, Jesus Christ is one of the great figures of history. More than that, his claims to be the Son of God, who has made God known and taken away the sins of the world, bear up under the closest scrutiny. This is our conviction, and we urge every student thoroughly invest investigate this unique figure, Jesus. Now, when they did that, they evoked hysteria and some of the anti-Christian faculty and students cried intolerance. Now, who was really being intolerant? The professor in Texas or the professors in Australia? The professors in Australia were merely presenting this to people to check out and believe in it. But the professor in Texas was denying Christians or anybody who would believe in not believe in evolution the right to a career that they might feel called to and desire. You see, this is the world that we're living in, and this is one of the reasons that I want to talk to you about a spirit walk, because a spirit walk will empower us to stand against such heresy, to stand against such an ideology that says that you can't be a Christian and be a productive member of society. And in contrast, we can be the best members of society. All right. Now, after saying all that, I'm going to get started with my message this morning. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 through 17. Let's go back. Verse 16 and 17. Let's read those again real quick. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And those are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. What I want to point out to you this morning is that our flesh and the Spirit are engaged in a battle, an epic battle with one another. And according to verse 16, it is very possible to allow the Spirit to overcome the flesh. We can have a spirit walk that allows us to be strong enough to overcome our fleshly desires. Now, I'm not saying that you're going to be perfect. I'm just saying that's what we strive for, is to overcome this flesh. In Romans chapter 7, verse 24 and 25, Paul the apostle wrote this. He said, "O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, with the flesh the law of sin." You see, even the apostle Paul struggled with his flesh on a regular basis. Every day of his life, he struggled with his fleshly desires. And yet, one of the great figures of the Bible, one of the men that wrote a huge portion of the New Testament, that went about establishing churches in all over the known world of that time, a great man of God, and yet he said, "I have this battle going on inside of me." When the Apostle Paul talks about being wretched, he's referring to this detestable nature, this desire that is inside of us to act out ungodly. It's rooted in our natural fleshly desires. The flesh, in biblical terms, is referring to the fallen mankind that we are. Because of the original sin, we're all fallen. And because of that original sin, God made a way through his son Jesus Christ for us to be connected back with God. You know, one of the things that, one of the goals that we have here at Bethel is to connect people to God. We do that in several different ways, but the first way is through his son Jesus Christ. That's how you get connected. But then if you want to grow and learn Bible, our Bible college, our spiritual journey class, all the things that, life groups, all these things are meant to connect you to God and connect you to people who want to be connected to God. It's a desire to reach and be fulfilled in the things of God. This fleshly nature that I'm talking about is sometimes called the carnal nature. In Romans chapter 8, verse 7, it says this, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. The word carnal here, the Greek word is sarx, and it means sensuous nature of man, the animal nature, the animal cravings that are inside of us. How many have heard of that, the group MS-13? You heard the president say they were animals, you know, there was big turmoil over that. But basically MS-13 originated in El Salvador, and they were they're a gang, and they are very violent. They're a criminal force. They're from the United States, from Los Angeles to Washington, D.C. They're a huge criminal organization. And whether you agree with his statement about them being animals or not, doesn't really matter. The reality is they live based on their animal instincts and nature. They are extremely violent. And that's the extreme that man will go to without the presence of Almighty God in his life. These people will kill indiscriminately. They don't care, because they're living according to their flesh. That's why we need to rise above the flesh and walk in the Spirit, have this Spirit walk in our life. We're at war. We're at war with Satan, but we are also at war with our flesh. Our flesh and the Spirit are engaged in a huge, huge battle. But I'm not going to just leave you there. I want you to understand. Yes, it's a battle, but it's a battle we can win. We have the resources. Galatians 5:18 says this, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So if you're led by the Spirit, you're able to overcome through the power of the Holy Spirit. We can walk in the Spirit. It's possible to be Spirit-led. It's possible to be to have a Spirit walk each and every day of our life. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1 through 6. Says this, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1 through 6, therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind, for he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. They will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this reason, the gospel was preached also to those who are dead, that they might be judged according to the men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. So here we understand that there are certain things, fleshly desires, that people are living under. And yet, when you become a believer in Jesus Christ and you change your lifestyle, some people question that. They wonder, you know, why aren't you out here partying with us anymore? I know that when I first became a believer, Tammy and I hung around with a bunch of partiers before that. And we received Christ as our Savior, and I went back to these people, and they didn't reject me, and I didn't necessarily reject them, but we just didn't have anything in common anymore. My life was changed. The party life was over. It was different. I had a desire for God, and my heart was changed and sought after him rather than after the fleshly desires. And that's what Peter is teaching us here, that we change our direction, that we become Spirit-led, therefore we can have a Spirit walk. But the problem is found in one phrase, in Galatians, the lust of the flesh. The lust, the Greek word here, is a strong desire, an intense craving for something. Now, it doesn't always have to be an evil connotation. For instance, we can lust or have a craving for the things of God. In Luke chapter 22, verse 15, Jesus said this, "Then he said to them, with fervent desire I have desired to eat Passover with you before I suffer." Fervent desire is the same word as the word lust in Galatians. He had a passion and a desire for the things of God. But in this context that we're reading it, in Galatians, it's referring to an intense craving of your fleshly desire. A desire to fulfill the lusts of your flesh. How many have ever heard of the Church of Satan? You? Some? Okay. I don't hear too much about it anymore, but at one time it was very well known, particularly the one in California. Anton LaVey in 1966 established it. And that doesn't mean it's not around. I'm just saying I haven't heard a lot of it. But the premise of his thinking was that as Satanists, their purpose for life was to fulfill all their fleshly desires and lusts. Therefore, all kinds of lewd things took place in their worship services as they worship Satan. And in their life, anything would go because there were no boundaries set up by a living God. They believed that Satan set them free to fulfill every lust of the flesh. Do you realize that today there's a group of people that have great control over this world called Luciferians? Luciferians believe that Satan or Lucifer and God are on equal terms, that they are warring with one another, and they believe that Lucifer is going to win. They are so deluded in their thinking. But what they believe is that in the garden, God or Adonai, which that what they refer to him, had man in bondage. And Lucifer came along and set him free. Crazy thinking, isn't it? But it's real. It's what they think. Therefore, because of this, they worship Lucifer and they worship the desires of their flesh. And they chase after all those desires. One day they're going to find out that the God that I serve is much more powerful than the God that they serve. I hate, you know. For one thing, you know, I'm glad that that is the case, but I hate it for people. I don't want to see people perish. I don't want to see people go to hell. I don't want to see people suffer eternally. I want to see them set free in the name of Jesus. The Spirit declares that we can have a Spirit walk. As believers in Jesus Christ, I reject that kind of thinking. Romans 8:12 says, "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." These are the children of God. When you are led, when you are walking that Spirit walk, you are considered a child of the Most High God. That's us. Hallelujah. We should get excited about that. The Spirit walk is always a walk of liberty, of freedom. You know, God created all living things free. But man built cages. And man has caged many animals and in essence, he's also caged people through religion. Religion puts people in a cage. Religion sets up a list of things that you have to follow in order to meet the requirements to please a living God. Religion says that if you don't do this, 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 and this, God's going to reject you. That's what religion does to us. Religion puts us in bondage. But relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ is something altogether different. Relationship with Jesus Christ sets you free. The Word of God says, those who are free in the Son are free indeed. I'm free. I don't have to follow a list of religious ordinances and obligations. I get to live and serve my living God because I have a heart desire to please Him. Now, I'm not giving you a license to go out and do whatever you want to. Don't go out of here saying, well, Pastor Rob said I can do this or I can do that. I can do whatever I want. No, I didn't. I said you're going to serve the living God and please Him because you want to please Him. If you don't want to, don't play the religious game. Don't pretend, because you're going to be outcast just like everyone who rejects God eventually. Don't play this religious thing. Get serious about your walk, your spirit walk. You know, as a child growing up in church, one of the things that normally took place in a Christian's life when they were born again was if they were normally partook of alcohol, they would stop drinking alcohol. Now, the new trend in the body of Christ these days is social drinking. That's okay in people's minds. And I'm not taking a hard stand against people drinking a beer or drinking a cocktail of some sort or drinking wine. I'm just telling you, you know, one, drinking the stuff is not the issue. Drinking the alcohol. Now, our forefathers said, we're not going to do this because they saw the evils of drink and what it was doing to society. So they said, just stay away from it. But I can tell you this, one drink is not going to send you to hell. But the Bible is very clear. Drunkenness is evil and God hates it. And the reason God hates us is because when you become drunk, your inhibitions are lowered and you will do and say things you would have never done otherwise. God's trying to protect you. Wow. Didn't know you was going to condemn me this morning, Pastor Ron. I love you. I don't want your life destroyed. I don't know what alcohol can do. I have family members that have allowed alcohol to totally destroy their life and eventually kill them. I don't want that to happen. So I'm not condemning you this morning. I'm warning you. Because what I have seen is those who move into that area where they're social drinking, it eventually ends up where they get intoxicated. And things happen. Will God condemn you? No. He just wants to protect you. I just want to protect you. Amen. Our flesh and our spirit are engaged in a battle. We know that. The Spirit desires to lead us into victory. Galatians 5:24, this is my last point. I'm going to wrap this thing up this morning. A spirit walk is a choice. And I've alluded to that many times this morning as we've gone through this. But verse 24 says, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with the passions and desires. It's still our responsibility cry out to the Holy Spirit to give us the strength to be able to crucify the flesh. We must do that. 1 Corinthians 3:3 says this, "For you are still carnal, for there where there is envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men?" Let me make a point here, because I realize that I came down pretty hard on you about social drinking. But I want to point out the things that he's talking about right here. Envy, strife, division, unforgiveness. These things, they're just as bad, if not worse, and they're more rampant in the body of Christ than the alcohol problem. These things are destroying families, envying one another, strife with one another, divisions among the body of Christ. We can't even get along with each other. Crazy things like fighting over the color of the carpet. Ignorant stuff. Let's get serious about serving the living God, and we won't care what color the carpet is. Let's recognize how serious this thing is. Jesus, look, watch some news. See what's happening over in the Middle East. See how things are starting to develop, where the nations are beginning to move against Israel. See what's happening. We're living in the last days. Things are happening rapidly. And I just want you to realize that the responsibility that we have as believers in Jesus Christ is to live with the fruit of the Spirit in our life. You know, I wish I could stand up here and say to you, every day of my life, I allow the fruit of the Spirit to overtake me, and I'm kind and good and loving and compassionate. And you know, I'd be lying to you, and my wife would verify that. But we're striving, aren't we? That's what it's all about. We're striving. We recognize it. We can have the Spirit walk, and when we make those mistakes, we get back on track and move back in this right direction. The reality is, though, that we choose to allow the Spirit to lead us. The Spirit walk must be about allowing the Holy Spirit to lead us above and beyond the lusts of our flesh. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds." Verse 5 says, "For the casting down of arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." We have the weapons that we need. The greatest weapon is the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. Believers, we choose to listen to the Spirit of God, or we choose to listen to our flesh. We have to choose. It's very important. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." For in Christ Jesus, Galatians 6:15, "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but a new creation." You're a new creation in Christ. But it becomes our responsibility to have a Spirit walk every day. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak to our spirit so that our spirit becomes stronger than our physical man, our fleshly man. We can overcome. We've got to give him control. You know, I've never been to the Grand Canyon, but I'm told that it's a beautiful, beautiful sight, incredible sight. How many have been to the Grand Canyon? A few of you have, okay? Understand that it's pretty incredible. You can't even imagine. I've seen pictures of it, but I'm sure that doesn't do it justice until you stand it and look down in the Grand Canyon. But one of the things that they have there's paths that you can walk down into the canyon itself. And I guess there's some places that are kind of dangerous, so you have to be careful that when you're going down. One of the things that they have is they have tours, and they have mules that you get on that mule and go down into the canyon itself. And the reason they use mules is because mules are very sure-footed. You do not have to worry about a mule stumbling and falling. Therefore, when you get on, I'm told that the guides tell you, you don't have to mess with the reins. In fact, it's better if you don't. Just let the mule do the walking. The mule will take you to the destination that you're going. If you mess with the reins, you are in danger of possibly falling over the precipice into the, miles down. Let the mule do the walking. I apply this to my Christian life, because so many times I have tried to take control. I grab those reins. Oh, God, Jesus, I know you know what you're doing, but it's better over here. It's better over there. No, it's not. I get in trouble. Sometimes I fall. Just take your hands off the reins. Let the Holy Spirit lead you, direct you, speak to you. And He does speak to you. He'll direct your life. He'll strengthen you. And we will have a positive, powerful spirit walk each and every day. Stand with me. One of the things that I touched on this morning is connecting people to God. And the first thing that we have to do is be connected to God through His Son, Jesus Christ. So this morning, I'd just like to offer salvation through His Son. The Word of God says, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, remember, believing in your heart is a key to this. Believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you shall be saved. It's a simple process if you really believe it. And when you really believe that, you become a new creature, that born-again experience that I talked about. You become a new creature in Jesus Christ. A desire is stirred inside of you to serve the living God, to glorify Him. And you begin a spirit walk that will lead you and direct you into things and opportunities that you never imagined for your life. That's what God wants for you. Sometimes this old world, it can just be humdrum and boring. What I've found as a believer in Jesus Christ, my life has never been boring. It's been exciting. It's always been something, some kind of new step of faith that I have to take. Some new exciting thing that God wants to do in our lives. But it all begins with that commitment to serve Jesus Christ, your personal Savior. If you bow your head with me this morning, could you put some music on, please? Oh, yeah. The commitment that I'm talking about is a real commitment. It's not just a intellectual decision and then you go about your way. I'm talking about recognizing that you are a sinner and you need a Savior. And God provided that Savior through His Son, Jesus Christ. I want all people to receive salvation in Christ. I do not want anybody to go to hell. That's my purpose in life, is to lead people to Christ and to help establish the kingdom of God on this earth. This morning, I'm going to ask you to go ahead and bow your head. If there's anyone here that would like to make that commitment to Christ, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. And I believe Jesus is that Savior. If that's you in here, please raise your hand. I'm just going to pray for you. This is a huge, huge commitment. See that hand? Praise God. Hallelujah. This is important. Christ, Jesus, is the answer that brings you into a relationship with the living God. You need that relationship. We all do. Is there anyone else like to receive Christ as your Savior? Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask you to come up. If you raised your hand, come on up. I want to pray with you. Father, go ahead and pray out loud. Heavenly Father, I know I'm a sinner. I need to be saved by your grace through your Son, Jesus Christ. I believe that he died on the cross for my sins. And he came back to life. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Rejoice, church. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Billy, I think we have, do we have some material that we can get to them? Some pamphlet? Okay. Get that taken care of. Appreciate that. Hallelujah. See Billy right after church because he has some stuff to give to you. If you want to talk to me, I'll be up here. Please come talk to me. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. God is good. Thank you. Hallelujah. All right, let's pray and dismiss. Father God, we thank you for this awesome day that you have given us. Thank you for the kingdom, Lord, and people coming to your kingdom, recognizing that you are such an awesome and mighty God. Today, Father God, we rejoice that souls have been saved from eternal damnation. Lord, and we praise you. A new life. A new creation has been started, this new spirit walk that they are in. Help us, Father God, as church here at Bethel, to be a part of their life, to encourage them, to lead them, to train them, to help them, to disciple them into the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Have an awesome day.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber, and I trust you've been blessed by this week's podcast. Our desire here at Bethel is to connect you to the kingdom of God with inspired and anointed teaching. If you like this teaching and would like to know more about our ministry here at Bethel, please visit our website at bethelwc.org.